Now, if you are a little bit older and your kids are growing up, or if you are just starting, but you need to, of course, it's kind of hard to teach your kids something that you don't practice, right? And you're going to get into this, you're going to find this out. So we've already identified, I hope that we've already identified that where you are in your how to handle money. And if you know that you've got problems, well then I would encourage you to straighten them out really, really well. And then when your kids get a little bit older, but one of the things that you can do, and I don't know if how your pride factor is, but I know that when you've had transitional kids, like with me, my kids were partially raised in the world, right? And then I got saved, and then, you know, things changed after that. So they had a lot of experience in the world, and then with me, and then when you first get saved, there's a learning curve, right? And so, you know, there's a learning curve there. So, man, a lot of times your kids are almost teenagers before, you know, you might even get your act together. So with the area of finances, again, I have explained to you how Ten and I, we went and, well, really, I'd have to say myself, that I didn't know how to handle money very well, very poorly, actually. And so I had to go and show them how to do things and how to, you know, make things right. Because when we talk about here, we're going to talk about giving and other different things here. And that wasn't something that came on, you know, immediately, but it did come on pretty quickly. And trying to teach the kids how to handle money. And so, you know, just know that what you have to do when you've done, when you've trained up your children wrong in an area, what you do is you go to them. Because they're going to, believe it or not, they're going to, how many of you ever raised kids? How many of you raised perfect children? No, nobody here, no perfect children raisers? Okay. Anyways, there is this tendency when you're, if you haven't taught them correctly, when they become teenagers and you correct them, they happen to throw this back at you. You get it back. Well, you did this and did, you know, that kind of stuff, especially in anger, right? We don't, I mean, not that any Christian family would ever, that would ever happen to. But the thing is what I'm trying to say is when you've made a mistake, when you've taught your children wrong, in any area, what you do is you go to your children and you and your wife, if that's still the way the family situation is, you look at them like this here and you say, "Hello, Johnny." And they say, "Hey, Dad." And then, you know, you go there and you acknowledge to them that you did wrong. You said, let's say if it was in the area of discipline, you say, "I have disciplined you wrong, or I have taught you by example wrong in this area. And I just want to explain that to you. And from this point on, then this is what I am following." And you could even make yourself accountable to them. And if I revert back to my old way, well, please, I give you my permission to tell me if I'm, let's say if it's the area of anger, that they would come up to you and they would say, "Dad, you don't seem to understand. You're yelling at me again," or something. You know, you become accountable. It's okay. And but really, you acknowledge it, and then you ask for forgiveness. And they have a choice whether to forgive you in that area or not. They do. But you've acknowledged it. You've confessed it before God. You go and you talk to your children. And then you say, then from this point on. And then when they do throw something back at you, which might still happen, you know, when they, or even, actually this works between husband and wife too, you know. But anyways, You try to make sure that they're not referring back to something that happened 20 years ago or something like that. Because when forgiveness is, you know, we're not going to harp on the past, is there? That you don't want to keep on referring back to the past. You want to go on from when you acknowledge your fault. And so I want to encourage you that if you haven't been a good steward for this, and your children have witnessed this, this is one of the ways that you can establish a new training, and you can do this. So we talked about giving your kids in lesson page 20 or lesson 3 in education. And our children get how much money we give them, the kind of home they grow up in, whether you're committed to Christ. All of these things are there. But I ended, I believe it was on the second blank there. You have to teach your children that money doesn't come from an ATM machine or from plastic. Even though I have to say that you would get that impression, right? You know, like you give a child, children have credit cards, young people have credit cards and everything. They don't have credit, but their parents give them their credit cards and everything. And MasterCard doesn't give you anything, do they? They don't give you anything. They say they give you a credit card. I go, yeah, right, okay. And, you know, they don't do that. So the money has to be what? Earned. Somewhere it's earned, right? Now, if you're talking about CPP and other retirement things, that money was earned, and they took your money, and then they, you know, I get a kick out of U.S. Social Security, you know, because, you know, you heard of, how many of you ever heard of U.S. Social Security, you know? And everybody thinks that that money that they took, which is a large chunk of change, okay, that they took from you all those years, like, was in some kind of little bank somewhere, you know, and it wasn't that way at all. They put it in the general fund, and they kept track of it, and then they actually borrowed that. A lot of that was borrowed. They borrowed Social Security, and so you know that you got this, what is it, $17 or $18 trillion debt in the U.S.? I don't know. It's some kind of figure that really I can't quite grasp around, you know, that kind of thing that they're in debt. $4 trillion of that is they borrowed against Social Security. And Social Security doesn't have any money, so, you know, anyways. But we got CPP, and somewhere, nobody gets anything for free. It's somebody had to earn it. Somebody pays for it. And so first, teach them to manage and earn money. Okay, you got that one? That's before we get to number one. You don't have it, huh? I have just the page that you want somewhere. Uh-oh, no, sorry, yes. And write it out real quickly. Oh, it's okay, they'll figure it out. And so I'm gonna suggest something here, and it's got qualifiers, okay? When we got, give them an allowance, okay? But there's rules to the allowance, okay? Okay, now, so this should not be for assigned chores done around the home, but for being part of the family, or, you know, that you're just doing it, making your bed and stuff like that. No, I think children should receive an allowance even before starting to school. Is that, you got that blank?
Yeah.
Okay. When it comes to managing money, the younger they are taught, the better. Though children shouldn't be paid for doing or to do assigned chores around the house, they should understand that the behavior required to receive an allowance, that it's different, such as all homework done each week, all assigned chores satisfactorily done, etc. And he wrote down here, and I'm going to try to explain it myself. If we pay them to do specific chores, then they expect to be paid for household responsibilities that are part of being the family. Okay, so you don't give a child an allowance for being part of the family. This is their, like, this is expected. You make your bed. You pick up after yourself. You do this. You know, those are all part of the family, the privilege of being part of the family, and I do believe it's a privilege. And he says washing dishes, carrying out garbage, cleaning one room. When they get older, they can be paid for doing extra things like washing the family car or mowing the lawn. Or you're going to have to be creative in this, but you got to give them some money so that they learn how to handle it, right? And then you're going to help them handle that money that they have, okay? The amount of allowance depends on the child's age, needs, and family income, of course. Whatever the amount, the child needs to be taught how to manage it until the next allowance. Now, I wrote and I changed some of the wording here, but from the time they begin, the allowances as preschoolers, you need to teach them how to give to the Lord. Now, of course, here we teach about the tithe, and I believe the tithe is the beginning of giving. I believe there's free will offerings. I believe there's a lot more and to giving than just this, but it's a good place to start. And you give 10% tithe is what we do, and you save 10%. And if you teach them that lesson, and they learn how to live on 80% from the beginning. Now, we that didn't do this from the beginning, we hesitate at this, and we say it's impossible and all this other stuff, but that's just because that's the way we've been trained. Okay? And so if you do that from the beginning, and the child is taught this from the beginning, you'll be surprised. And that's really, Pastor Klein's mother was very good at this and taught him, you know, that kind of thing from the beginning. And so when he was a young man in the military, he had savings accounts and CDs and other different things like that. And when he got married, he didn't go into debt in any aspect of it at all. And because, of course, a single guy can live, he can live on the cheap, right? Doesn't wash his clothes but once a month, and you know, all this other stuff. Well, okay, twice a month he's thorough. But anyway, so you give them allowance, and you're going to teach them this. And I think that the most important thing to teach you, if I'm going to read this, is the tithe back to God. We should encourage them that their offering is ready each week before they go to church services, because the giving of the money is an essential part of worship. And we should teach them as young people, as young as possible, to give back to God and to start savings. And I'm paraphrasing that. Let's look up Luke 12:34, please. Who's going to get that one? I guess, Michelle, you're going to be first this week. Yeah.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Okay. For where your treasure is. And now, as I told you last week, one of the things that really helped me when I started to, years ago when I started to tithe, because I wasn't taught this, you have to understand that when and if I went to church as a young person, what I gave to the assembly and stuff was so minimal. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be considered anything, really. And it wasn't taught to be, reoccurring or any. I wasn't taught any of that. And so being from a worldly mindset and getting saved, and then somebody telling me that it is right and proper, and as I read the scripture and came under the belief that the scripture did teach it and started to give a tithe back, it really jarred me to the point I said, well, I have to watch how I spend money. In other words, if I'm going to give the Lord 10%, then I have to really watch how I spend money, because I just couldn't figure out how it could even happen. Really, truly. Because how much money did I spend when I got saved? Every cent that I could get a hold of. I mean, it went for this, that, bills, whatever, you know. And so to say that I have to give 10%, right, you know, and then I'd go like into a little panic. Well, you know, but what it did make me do is to watch very carefully how I spent my money. And that's when Tana and I really started to realize how much money we waste, you know, that goes here and there and, you know. Frappuccinos and other different things that some people spend a lot of money. Tim's, you're really helping the owners of Tim Hortons send their kids to Hawaii. But, it goes like that. And I don't mind you buying a Tim's. Listen, if you got the money, do it. But a lot of times we say we don't have money for this or that, and, you know, we do that. So it gets you really looking to where you're spending money. So your children are watching all this. Other words, where's your heart in this matter? If your heart is, is it a form of worship or is it not? And I believe that it is. And it's a trusting of the Lord. And you ought to have seen it. Man, it was really something. Brother Boyle could explain it more than I can, because he was the one that was on the receiving end of all my questions, right? And because then first it was 10% of my net income. And then I really thought about it and I said, this is not right. This isn't what it said. It's supposed to be the first fruits. Then it was 10% of my gross income, right? And then, of course, mission giving and benevolence giving and all this other stuff, you know, that was there. But I have to tell you, honestly, truly, I mean, and how much we were in debt and everything else that was there. When we really did that, the Lord gave us wisdom and our money. And I believe he extended things and gave us great blessings. Anyways, we taught to give 10% to God, save and invest 10%. Some experts suggest 20%. I don't know if that's necessary, but we'll see. And live on the rest. I think the most important thing we can teach our children is to give back to tithe to God, and it is a form of worship. We should teach our children they can't truly love God if they don't give him as the Bible teaches. And a lot of times people don't want to give, they bristle at that because money, which is, what did the first lesson say that money is? The least of all things, right? It's the least of all of the things, right? Remember we read that scripture? But it's so important to us that we really have problems with money. And more so than we like to think. Really, I think that most of us think that, you know, this and that, but money, because it says it answers, Proverbs says it answereth all things, right? That we so need it and everything that we worry about it and we fret about it. But think about if a child's taught that by the time and they get part-time jobs through high school and all the rest of it, that they can see that all of a sudden they've got, by high school, they've got 10 grand in the bank, which, you know, a lot of times, I can tell you I didn't have 10 grand in the bank when I come out of high school because I spent every cent that I had, right? But then it accumulates, and then, yes, they can be blessed of God and not have to go at the beginning of life in indebtedness. Teach them to buy what they want with cash, money. Real money, folding money, right? And I don't mind the debit card thing. I don't even know what year this was and the popularity of debit card. Because when debit cards came out, and I have one, when debit cards first came out, you remember they weren't accepted in many of the machines and all that other stuff, you know. But now, really, it's pretty well accepted everywhere. And they always ask you, credit or debit, right? And then you'll notice that you can buy certain things on debit without interest in different things that than, of course, on a credit card. Because what's the percentage on credit cards now that they take from the businesses? Is it 3 or 4%?
Yeah, it's 3 to 4%.
I don't know if you realize that, but everything that you buy on credit, they get the business, they take a cut of that, sort of like PayPal takes a cut when I buy something on PayPal, right? They get a percentage of it, and that's why some of the prices are as high as they are. So teach them to buy with cash or using that money. As parents, we are to meet our children's physical needs with clothing, food, and shelter. However, we shouldn't try to buy their love or make up the loss of time together by giving them almost everything they want. You're making a mistake. People give their children all that, and there's a big recognition now that the millennials, or the ones, actually it would be not my daughter's generation, but the newer young families, that they are overprotecting and giving their children way too much. And what they're raising is a child that is fearful and one that does not and cannot seem to break the bonds, you know, because they're so dependent upon their parents. So be careful about that. When your children want a $120 pair of sneakers, when they want these cool sneakers, if they want that, tell them to go cut some lawns or something, man. And see if you really want that thing, you know, that bright, shiny thing. But some of the things that they're buying now, what does the latest phone go for?
$1,035. We bought one.
$1,035. Can you? What?
Crazy. He bought it. He earned it. He bought it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, at least he can, if he earned it, that's right. If he wants to spend it that way. And, you know, of course, I'd tell him buy a car, save it for a car, right? But it depreciates too, so buy a house, right? and so if they want cell phones, their own TV, expensive designer clothes, or their own computers, they should be taught to manage their money and pay for those items with cash. And if they, even though we might not agree with what they're purchasing, right? But you are setting a thing about buying it with cash and not with credit. See, we're trying to stay far away from the credit side here. And I know, listen, I'm not going to get into the ethics of this or, you know, if I was doing it and what I would teach my children. I'm not doing that. The main thing we're trying to teach here is to stay away from the credit trap, okay? Stay away from it. And if you can teach your children that, it'll be a good thing in their life. However, we shouldn't try to buy their love or make up for lost time, remember? A lot of parents will do that. Dads will get so busy at work and stuff that they get things to their children because they're not spending the time that they should with their children. That's out of guilt. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to. What you got to do is, you know, the balanced Christian life thing. You got to just somehow, you're working too much. You need to run it back, get back, and spend some time with your kids. And they want you to be there. Together, giving them almost everything they want. Many parents spoil and even damage their children by giving them money to buy virtually anything they want. I'm not saying you shouldn't give them gifts on birthdays or anything like that. As we teach our kids about money, another verse that we should remember is Proverbs 22:6. So who's got that one? That you?
Child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Uh-huh. Now, I know we use that verse for other things, but it's also about what we're teaching them about finances. So, because that's our subject here. This means we must teach them to plan and save for things they want, for example. And it gives all the cell phones and all the rest of it. And then your next blank is we can teach them about budgeting. Okay, how many of you know about budgeting? How many of you keep a budget? Was that, Michelle, that was a halfway hand. That means half the time you keep. Well, budgets are guidelines. Budget is a guideline. It really is. It's something to keep you, you know, on that. But there are a lot of people say, I can't live by a budget. No, that's not true. You can live by a budget. But how do you develop a budget? On the money you think you're going to earn? Or what's a realistic budget, right? And people, when you make the budget, how much you can spend on this and how much you can spend on that, you know, that kind of thing. And sticking by it would be a tough thing for us. It requires what? Discipline. It is. It's a discipline matter. But if you're going to get out of debt, if you're going to get out of debt and stay out of debt, you better learn how to budget your money. Our tendency is to spend more or less than what we make. More, okay, because we want something now. We weren't trained, and if we were trained as a child, maybe we broke away from it. But we need to budget, and you need to do that. And what does Ecclesiastes 5:19 say? I'll read it. You got it? Okay, go ahead.
Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God.
Amen. Okay, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, there's an interesting statement, and to take his portion, that's the phrase, to take his portion. It says he's been given everything, and now all of a sudden it says his portion. That's an interesting thing, huh? But anyways, just understand that it is a gift of God. But so many of us, we don't praise God in our finances because we've got into such a financial trap that we continually think that we don't have either enough money or we don't have the things that God, like God shortchanging us. And really, I believe that what it is, what the real problem is God has given us enough. And the way that we've managed it has caused us not to have the things that we really desire or need, and has caused us, our mismanagement of it is what has cost us not to consider it a blessing of the Lord, and that we're always under the gun or that we don't have enough. And so really look at it, because mismanagement of what God has given us is really, I believe, the problem. Even Larry Burkett, I mean, this is 1980. I mean, in his books that he wrote back in that time, he first thing it says in there, we don't have a money problem, we have a spending problem, right? And because many of us, we are very affluent, and the amount of money, how many of you ever do your taxes, and then you're adding up all this income that you had, right? Man, and it gets to be pretty high. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us, when we add up our income, we're middle class. According, there's a lot of things about middle class. You know what is middle class in Canada? But most of us, we go over that $45,000 a year, and that's when the middle class starts at 45. They believe. Now, if you're living in Vancouver and you make $45,000 a year, you're going to think you're on the street. But here we're doing okay. The thing is that what I'm trying to say is we have all kinds of money, and then you think back, what it was spent on and other different things, right? And where did it all go? Really look at your. I know this isn't part of the lesson, but with your children and everything, if you're really tight, if your money's really tight, look what you're spending on non-essentials. You need to look at that so carefully, because you're not going to have the money if you believe in the tithe, if you believe in offerings, if you believe in mission giving. You, because of these non-essentials, are eating up all your income, and the indebtedness and the what we're paying the credit card companies and different things. Your money isn't going to be there, and you're going to owe money. And I know that people have different philosophies on this, but really examine it. Okay, what your non-essentials you're spending your non-essentials on. Okay, despite the best intentions, unless we are very careful, we will teach our children they are entitled to whatever they want. And we talk about that the children being raised now have a sense of entitlement. You owe me. No, excuse me. No, I don't owe you nothing. We didn't have a contract that I owe you anything. And I believe that they ought to consider it a privilege to live at home, and that they ought to behave accordingly and be very, very thankful until they're home. And then when they go out into this world and stuff like that, it's okay to let them be poor. Let them go out there. Let them eat some popcorn for a while, without butter and salt. And you know what I mean? Let them, let them go and get apples and, eat off of that. Anyways, let them be poor for a while. It's okay. How many of you were rich? Really, I didn't get, Ten and I, it was pretty tight. Our income was pretty tight, right? And so we're very thankful for what we have now. On the other hand, we must teach our children that to get what they want in life, they must work and save for it. If you got these basic lessons. Also, our children must learn this truth. The anticipation is almost always better than the realization. You're saving for something and you're anxious about it. That's what it's saying. And then when you finally get it, you go, okay, well, okay. the new phone is going to somehow make him super cool, right? Or something, right? And then you drop it. Whoops. In South Africa, they have these little shops that all they do, and I haven't found them here, and they do it real cheap. They have all these shops, and you bring their cell, you know, when you drop your cell phone and the cracks at it and stuff, that's all they do all day long in these shops is change cracked things, and they do it for the cheap too. They change out those things, man, they do it in just a couple minutes. They change out that crack, and then you don't have to bring it back to the company, you know, and, you know, all these other things that go on there. And I was wondering why somebody didn't make a business out of that and undercut, you know. I think you can make a lot of money on that. I know they do there. And teach them to buy what they want with cash. We already got all that. And where am I?
Three.
Be a money model. That's it. Be a money model. The best way to teach our kids about managing and earning money is by what? Example. So you're going to teach them this, and you're going to go through this. They're going to see it. If you haven't done it in the past, you acknowledge that it's been wrong, and you say, now we're going to do this. Look at this. We have a budget. And then you're going to do that. But many people, they make unrealistic budgets. I think that they don't think things through, you know. We're going to spend, you know, $10 this month on whatever, you know. And you better have an emergency fund. You better know that your car does use gas, you know, that kind of thing. You guys building the budget? No, you guys walk a lot, don't you? No? No? Okay. Especially wintertime, huh? Yeah. Be a money model. So when you get this, and it'll be good. I'm going to rush along here because I'll get in trouble if I don't get done. This means, and we're going to jump down, this means in all likelihood our children are going to handle their money just like we do. Remember, in public school and college, our children will not be taught God's way of managing money. They will not be taught God's way. Matter of fact, even in Christian colleges, many Christian colleges allow their students to go into debt. And I don't get that. I absolutely do not understand that from a Christian college. Right. And anyone that does is one that I know wants to keep students more than teach them the proper principles of the Word of God. And so it really bothers me. It does. That's one of the things. I go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. A kid gets out of a college and owes $18,000 out of a Christian college. I go, that can't be. And so the schools that say, before you go into next semester, this semester has to be paid for, right? You know, that puts limits to this and does that. I appreciate that in their teaching. Okay. Let them earn extra money at home. Okay. Don't send your 12-year-old out to, and earn money in some illicit way. Be careful how they're earning their money, right? I don't mind them working and, you know, Daniel came over and mowed my lawn, and I don't mind that kind of thing, but sometimes you got to be careful how they're earning money, okay? But at home, they should begin this as young as possible. I got to really hit quick here. On the next page, you got to give them jobs that normally you would hire someone else to do, and then pay your children a fair wages based on what we have paid someone else. And so with Daniel, right, you know, he knew what I was going to, what I usually give somebody to pay. And I do mow my own lawn, but there are times that I just don't want to do it. And so I pay Daniel, or I pay Josh, or I pay whatever it is. And so you hire them. But don't rip them off, okay? I mean, have you ever seen these slave auctions that church has for like the teen department? And I can remember once that Faith Baptist Church, man, the slaves went off to go, you know, and they hired them for the day, and the person paid them like $3 an hour, you know. And I said, I mean, no, wait a second now, you know, come on, you know, we're not trying to gain something from this, you know, that kind of thing. Pay them a reasonable wage, right? What's minimum wage? Is it 10:25? Yeah. Make sure they are old enough to do the work safely. Don't expect them to do it like a professional. You know, all the rest of it. Okay. Well, we got to stop there because.